Agent Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists that do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We dispose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Agent Vision Radio Show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Good morning, UCY Radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision Radio Show, and I want to welcome you to the new week. You know, on Mondays I do the nuclear alerts, and I am not kidding you. It is beyond belief the level of criminality that these rats continue to perpetrate on us. This week on Wednesday, I beg your pardon, we're going to have an interview with Mimi German. I think her name is pronounced German. I heard her that Libby Halevy introduced her as Mimi German. So I'll ask her about that. We'll be talking about the what we need to do to get the Columbia Generating Station closed down. And during her interview with Libby, it was very interesting. She was talking about these nuclear alerts, and she was encouraging everybody to go to the NRC to read these alerts on a regular basis. And her contention was that these are not just alerts. These are hazards. These are warning hazards. When the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, they have like these rules that say if something's out of bounds, out of reasonability, then we have to warn the people that there's some danger present. So one of the things that, you know, when I first started doing this, I decided to go to the NRC, but Mimi is completely right. These are not just alerts. These are nuclear warnings, and the level of disregard is incomprehensible. This week alone, let's see, we started, I usually pull out all of them from the 25th, from last Monday to this Monday. So this week it's the usual external radiation levels on shipping package too high, and of course there's no danger to anybody. And the cause of the event was human error, of course. That's usually the thing. An orphan source in Oklahoma, an orphan source was discovered. Possible overexposure involved. This one is probably one of the most offensive ones that I read this week. Let me just read it to you. It is nuclear event number 51322. The Oklahoma Environmental Agency Radiation Management Section has been informed on 8/17/2015 that a member of the public was cleaning out a warehouse belonging to Northern Oklahoma College in Enid, Oklahoma on August 15, 2015 when they came across an unusually heavy box. When opened, they found what was apparently a lead pig and about 10 glass vials. I imagine a lead pig is some kind of a technical term. I can't imagine there was like a pig. The pig was not secured, and when tipped over the metal rod, a metal rod approximately 1.25 inches and 3 inches long fell out. A piece of masking tape on the rod was labeled hot, and four radium tubes, one broken. One of the workers picked up the tube and handled it for a few minutes before they noticed the radioactive label on the box. At this point, they returned the contents to the box and notified the university. The university does not possess a radioactive materials license. I wonder how they got it. The person who handled the rod is now seeking medical attention, complaining of nausea, dizziness, pain, and pain like arthritis in his hands, and blistering on his feet. So, update on this one. This was really amazing. This is what happened to the guy who was complaining. Let's see. Once again, one of the workers who stated that the man who handled the source had been diagnosed with a reaction to mold exposure and given a cortisone injection. The guy got radiological exposure. His feet was blistering, arthritis in his hands, dizziness, and nausea, and they diagnosed him with mold exposure. These are the kind of criminals that we're dealing with, folks. This is why this show, you know, on this radio station is probably one of the few places where we can actually hear about the crimes of the nuclear cartel. And frankly, it is very important to hear and pay attention to it, because if you think this won't happen to you if you get exposure to radiation, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. On the larger picture of it all, we have, you know how I go to the Hill and I read from the Hill. Let me get to this article. This was really infuriating. I'll get back to the nuclear alerts in a minute, but listen to this. OnTheHill.com. Anger builds at EPA over radioactive landfill. This is completely stunning. Many of you probably know about it. Leaders in a St. Louis suburb are urgently calling on top Obama administration officials to quickly clean up a landfill with radioactive waste that they believe could catch fire. Now, they're dragging their feet on something that could catch fire. The EPA has been working for 25 years on the West Lake landfill in Bridgeton, Missouri, which has housed barium sulfite waste from the Manhattan Project since the 1970s. The EPA is still studying the site, still studying it. We're working on it. And considering a wide range of actions to contain the radioactive material under its Superfund program for cleaning severe environmental contamination. But with an underground smoldering fire in an adjacent landfill, check this out, residents and leaders say it's only a matter of time before the flames hits the radioactive waste, potentially sending it airborne and spreading it in an unpredictable way. This is really just outrageous. What we have is an emergency, said Ed Smith, energy director with the Missouri Coalition for the Environment. It's a slow-moving emergency, just like Fukushima, just like the Columbia Generating Station in Hanford, just like Three Mile Island, just like Indian Point, just like so many of the nuclear power plants that are completely falling apart. These people they are a disgrace to humanity. These, whoever it is that makes these decisions, and they actually don't make decisions. They just keep kicking the can down the road. And honestly, it's up to us to put pressure. Residents have been working closely with Senators Claire McCaskill, Democrat, and Roy Blunt, Republican, and Representatives Lacey Clay, Democrat, and Ann Wagner, Republican, who have written multiple letters and taken other action to put pressure on the Obama administration to take care of the problem. But they're not taking care of the problem. We have a potential disaster sitting in the midst of America, and there's Although, why should we expect them to do anything different? Look what they did with the whip. The whip is still out of control. Angered at what they see as the EPA's slow movement on the matter, local leaders want the Army Corps of Engineers to take over as the lead agency overseeing the radioactive waste. The Army Corps oversees the formerly utilized site's Remedial Action Program, FUSRAP, F-U-S-R-A-P, FUSRAP, which is in charge of remediation for many radioactive contaminated sites that resulted from the Department of Energy programs and research. It is helping the EPA currently, but it is not the main agency. That includes numerous sites in and around St. Louis that were discovered in the early 1990s to have waste that was illegally dumped by Mellencroft Inc., which enriched uranium for the Manhattan Project. So we had illegally dumped waste dumped all over St. Louis. Given that this is a problem that began with the federal government, we believe that the Corps of Engineers is the best suited entity to handle the Westlake landfill, said Smith. This is outrageous, you guys. I don't know how you feel, but when I come across a story like this, my hair stands up on the back of my head. We have radiological emergencies happening in our country, and our government refuses to actually take action. They're like, yeah, we're working on it. We'll just wait to see how many people get sick, how many people die. And then this, like this man in this emergency, this really angered me when I read this on this guy. They found an orphan source. This was the other thing about this, going back to this thing in Oklahoma, this alert number 351322. Turns out that the university was not even, they weren't licensed to have radioactive waste. So how did they get it? And then a person stumbles across it and he gets diagnosed with mold exposure and given a cortisone shot, when what he really had was radiation exposure, and that fucker's going to die. He's going to have something horrible happen to his body because there is no known answer to remediate for radiation exposure. I'm going to go back to this story because it's really amazing. Let's see. The EPA also says the situation is not as urgent or as dire as some have made it out to be. The landfill garbage, Whitley said, is not actually on fire, but only smoldering, a common occurrence. And the agency does not believe local residents are at an immediate risk. So they're going to wait for the immediate risk to happen. We have yet to find issues that indicate that anything at the landfill site will cause exposures to anyone in the community, he said. The EPA proposed in 2008 to require that radioactive material be permanently capped. But in the face of opposition, officials decided to consider other options, and Whitley predicted that the agency will propose others within a year. But Whitley warned against moving the site to the Army Corps jurisdiction. He said it is not within the EPA's power to do that. Even if it could, it would be enormously expensive. This is really amazing. That robust, normal Superfund process is very mature, and if left alone, will produce a fully protective remedy at the shortest time without requiring taxpayers to pay the entire cost. A transfer to FUSRAP would cause needless delay and is likely to waste taxpayer dollars for no reason. So basically, they're saying they can't do anything about it. They're just going to wait until it becomes a big problem, that we're all just being overly nervous. Right, like reading these nuclear alerts. So here we were in Arkansas. Facility was called Arkansas Nuclear in Arkansas. Event number 51340. Loss of seismic alarm capability during a functional test. This means that if there was any type of an earthquake activity, they would not tell us. The semi-annual seismic system functional test commenced. While this test was in progress, seismic alarm capability is not available for EAL declaration purposes, and no procedures provide compensatory measures for using off-site sources to obtain seismic data. It should be noted that seismic data will still remain capable of being recorded, only alarm capability is lost. So we're screwed. They can record the seismic activity, but they can't tell anybody about it. That's absolutely fabulous, isn't it, folks? Let me read to you this one story about San Onofre. It is completely stunning, I have to say. I was doing a little bit of research. You know, we're working on figuring out a way to close the Columbia Generating Station, and we're looking at the San Onofre at their shutdown. And actually, it's even worse than what I thought. It turns out that San Onofre is going to cost something like $9.9 billion to close it down. And this was something interesting that I found, and I don't know if many people know about this. This is on the Federal Register, the Daily Journal of the United States Government, 6/12/2015, noticed by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Turns out San Onofre has been waived to have to do some of these safety issues. No risk, no undue risk to public health and safety. The summary, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is granting exemptions in response to a request from Southern California Edison regarding certain emergency planning requirements. Now listen to this. This is really interesting because all of the nuclear waste is still there. The plant is still there. The exemption will eliminate the requirement to maintain formal off-site radiological emergency plans and reduce the scope of the on-site emergency plan activities at the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station, Units 1, 2, and 3 in the independent spent fuel storage installation, based on the reduced risks of accident that could result in an off-site radiological release at the decommissioning nuclear power reactors. Provisions would still exist for off-site agencies to take protective actions using a comprehensive emergency management plan to protect public health and safety if protective actions were needed in the event of a very unlikely accident that could challenge the safety storage of spent fuel. Meaning, basically, we're screwed. They don't have to do jack to help us. They're actually not expecting any kind of an emergency. This is how arrogant these people are at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. There isn't a request they have not seen by the nuclear energy industry that they do not complete. I find it completely, to be honest, between you and me, I think that this is genocide. Like, there is no answer for some of this disregard for safety in the nuclear industry. Let's get back to these event notices. These are not events. These are hazard notices. That Mimi Gurman was exactly right. These are not event notices. And the language, the way they downsize, like this man gets exposed to radiation, cleaning up a university, high level of radiation. And what's the net result? He gets diagnosed with a mold exposure. Radiation is not mold, folks. And whatever doctor agreed to diagnose him with mold ought to be burnt in hell. That's how I feel about it. That's outrageous. On August 16, 2015, the Colorado Department of Health and Environment Radioactive Materials Unit received a phone call on the after-hours emergency response line. They reported an attempted break-in on a radiological truck. This is event number 51325, folks, in Brighton, Colorado. So this truck was parked overnight at the Cottonwood Suites at a hotel. The radiographers reported that the door of the darkroom had been tampered with. The door was not breached, therefore the alarm was never activated. All radioactive materials were accounted for by Desert NDT. No theft occurred. But what the hell was a radioactive truck doing spending the night in a public facility like that? The complete disregard for public safety is just astounding. It is really, you know, when I started doing these nuclear alerts, I did it really just because I was filling in for Kevin, and I really didn't know what I was going to talk about. I'm very new in terms of being a, quote, activist. You know, my my activism, when I really became active, was really in 2000, when Bush stole the election. I got very engaged in wanting to have it, having it reversed, having those criminals go to jail for stealing the election, for lying us into war. And I spent, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years writing letters to the Congress. I had my own little acronym called ROAR, Restore Our American Reputation. And I would write letters and fax them into every single office in the Congress and in the Senate. And it actually got me investigated. You know, I think they thought I was some organization. The subtitle said, a grassroots effort to demand representation. So how dare I? How dare I demand representation, right? So, but this business with paying attention to the nuclear industry, honestly, I have been like the rest of America, frogs in a pot of slow boiling water. And the water is really heating up now, folks. This is why more and more of us are paying attention. Since Fukushima, that is really the only disaster to really pay attention to. It is. Can any of you actually believe that we have at least three nuclear power plants in complete meltdown that are just 100% being ignored by the governments of the world? And poisoning the Pacific Ocean, we have dead whales now. Huge, gigantic, massive ton whales washing up on beaches to the point, and they're saying, gee, they don't know what's wrong with them. We know what's wrong with them. Just like this man who got he got arthritic symptoms and vomiting, nausea, feet itching. His feet were burning. And he got diagnosed with a mold exposure. That's what they're going to do to us. Being diagnosed with a mold exposure, or you have a cold, or there's some plume or something that's gone on in your body. It's your fault. It's not our fault. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission is not going to be held accountable. The nuclear agencies are not going to be held accountable. In the United States, we have something called the Price-Anderson Act. And what that does basically is it holds any individual or any corporation not liable for any mistakes that they make knowingly or unknowingly. To the point where, check this out. I mean, I think I talked about this, and I wanted to pull this out because it was really stunning when I was looking up San Onofre. I'm just going to read it from the Wikipedia page, which, you know, if you know Wikipedia, Wikipedia is written by the proponents of whatever it is they're reporting on. Like, anybody can contribute. The fact that this was left on Wikipedia talks to you about how absolutely disregarding to human safety they are. The San Onofre station had technical problems over the years. On July 12th, 1982 edition of Time magazine, it was stated, the firm Bechtel, the criminal firm Bechtel, I added the criminal part, the firm Bechtel was embarrassed in 1977 when it installed a 420-ton nuclear reactor vessel backwards at San Onofre. They put it on backwards, folks, in 1977. How do you put on a 420-ton reactor vessel backwards? The gross incompetence of that happening. And these are the people that we are supposed to trust to take care of us in the event of a safety hazard. I mean, the complete disregard for human life is astounding. So, look, I'm going to move on from that. I just wanted to read that to you since I made mention of it last week. I didn't quote it all correctly. And what I also do want to talk about, we have two more pages of these nuclear alerts. I'm going to tell you what, it's been a busy week for the nuclear alerts, but it's, you know, unanalyzed condition for a postulated fire. In preparation for transitioning the planned hatch fire protection licensing basis from 10 CFR 50.48B, they use all this technical language so that we can't read it. The updated analysis has identified circuit configurations in four fire areas where an Appendix R postulated fire could impact the ability to achieve safe shutdown conditions. So this is in Hatch, Georgia, at the reactor, power reactor in Hatch, Georgia. Essentially what they're saying is they've discovered that they do not have the capability to be notified if there was a fire. While this represents an unanalyzed condition for appendix R, the described scenario presumes a fire has occurred in fire area 1105. The thing that makes me creeped out about this thing is they're not telling us if there was a fire. The way that the NRC reports it lies on such a, I mean, it's the 90% rule, folks. They stick to it 100% of the time. They underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90% and deny that radiation causes harm. So when they're talking about having a fire presence and having the ability to tell us whether there's a fire or not, I come at it with this idea. Did they have a fire? Maybe it makes me think that they did have a fire. I don't trust them as far as I could throw them, to be really honest. When I'm reading this update, it goes on. They have updates and updates and updates on this one thing for 1, 2, 3 pages. Update on 8/25 from John Mitchell to Jeff Herrera. In preparation for transitioning the Hatch Fire Protection Licensing Basins from 10 CFR an update to the Plan Hatch Appendix R safe function analysis has been performed for the diesel building. The updated analysis has identified circuit configurations in a fire area where an Appendix R postulated fire could impact the ability to achieve safe shutdown conditions. This is a Category 1 barrier impairment. Now, this was on 8/25. They're basically saying, yeah, we've identified where we could not have a safe shutdown. If there was an emergency at the Hatch Nuclear Power Plant, basically they're saying we couldn't maintain it. And this is just like, interesting, buried in this. Based on the updated Plant Hatch Appendix R safe shutdown analysis, recommendations and the plant's fire hazard analysis, that's called FHA, compensatory measures have been taken and will remain in place until conditions are resolved. Well, thank God they're at least planning on doing something in the event that something has happened. And don't we love this? This event has been retracted. This one came out on, notification date was 7/14. And so why is it in the news now? It came up, it was on, this is interesting, 8/26, event notification for 8/26. The event happened on 7/14. The event date was 7/13. The notification date was 8/13. And the last update was 8/25, but that's when they decided to retract it. Okay. This is a hazard event at the Columbia Generating Station. Secondary containment pressure increased above technical specification limits. So if we read all the way down through the end of it, it says, subsequent to the initial report, Columbia has determined that per NUREG regulations 1022.3.2.7, the event was not reportable as a secondary containment was declared inoperable as a part of a planned evolution in accordance with the approved procedure and the Columbia's technical specification. No condition has been discovered that would have resulted in the system being declared inoperable prior to the surveillance. Therefore, the event is not considered to be a condition that could have prevented fulfillment of a safety function or a condition prohibited by TS and is not reportable to the NRC as a license event report. LEA, that's what they call it, license event report. Now, why is it A? Well, L, this is how illogical they are. License event report, they have in parentheses LEA, not LER. These people are just astoundingly cruel. I find the callousness with which the Nuclear Regulatory
agencies conduct themselves is unconscionable. Getting a doctor to say this man who was exposed to radiation had a mold exposure. That is something I don't think I can get over for a while, guys. That is outrageous. The man who handled the source has been diagnosed with a reaction to mold exposure and given a cortisone injection. He was reportedly much better and has returned to work. Don't worry, move along. You'll die of cancer in 5 to 10 years at best. So we have another event at the Middlesex Hospital in Middletown, Connecticut, where somebody was exposed to additional levels. The calculations show that 60% of the dose was delivered to the left lobe of the liver. However, most of the patient's tumor burden is localized to the right lobe. Therefore, no additional Y90 administration is necessary. These are the cruelest reports. They're like Mengele. They just report things as if it's no big deal. They don't understand that these are people's lives. This is an open source found in a garbage truck. We're still on notification dates from 8/26. There was 9 of them. And ironically, just like we would expect, on Mondays and Fridays, there's a lot less reporting that goes on. So again, we have radiography camera source retrieval. So they found radioactive waste in a garbage truck containing radon 226. Exposure rate was 60 mR per hour, millirems per hour on contact with the truck. Based on measurements, activity was estimated to be a 10 mCi. Millicuries. The U.S. DOT was contacted and approved issuance of a DOT special sanitation where the hired contractor sorted the load and found small radium source. No information identifying the source was available. It had been adequately shielded and secured at the site pending disposal. Wow. No mention of the human being who was involved. None. Zero. So, you know, this is really the shock of it all, folks. Like, I honestly can't get over this. That these people, you know, I've been doing this radio show now for a month, and I want to thank everybody who has been listening and contributing to my radio show and bringing information out, because as we're seeing every single week, I don't know if it's getting worse, but maybe we're just discovering it. They're doing what they've always done, the complete gross negligence of safety. Like this article, you know, like St. Louis, Missouri. And they've been working on it for 25 years. At the Westlake landfill in Bridgeton, Missouri. How many people in Bridgeton, Missouri now have cancer, or their children, or have had spontaneous abortions, or been sterile and not been able to get pregnant, or their children have autism, or they have diabetes? And none of it is related to the nuclear reactor waste. None of it. It's the cruelty that happens is really honestly just beyond comprehension, if you ask me. I do not know how these people live with themselves. In this article, we're talking about Claire McCaskill and these other senators getting actively engaged. Senator Roy Blunt and Senator Claire McCaskill working really hard to take care of this problem for their constituents. And the EPA and the federal government are like, well, it's not that big a deal. You guys are nervous over nothing. Joe Biden's son dies of brain cancer, and it's no big deal. So when the vice president's son dies of brain cancer, and nobody there even takes a half a look at the radiation, how do we expect them to even give a flying fuck about any of us here? And the fact is, they don't. They don't care about us. So it's up to us, for us to decide that we care about us, and that means that we need to get actively engaged. And one of the ways you're getting actively engaged, and I appreciate that, is by listening to this radio show and to Nuclear Hot Seat and to other people. Frankly, as far as I can see, this is probably the only radio station I've heard of where people actually talk about nuclear radiation. You know, the SGT reports on it. He put up a report yesterday showing, you know, Kevin put out a video yesterday basically declaring straight up that Sendai is having a partial meltdown. Well, anybody who even follows Miss Milky the Clown, she did an awesome video yesterday on the YouTubes that basically, I don't know where she got it, but it was a video of the Sendai nuclear power plant with a little leak, a slow leak spewing out of the top of it with the security guard standing there. And frankly, in her genius, she did it in fast forward so you could see it was bzzz, and you could see the fumes just spewing out. So something at the Sendai nuclear power plant in Japan, since that typhoon hit, there is a massive problem there that they are trying to fix. They consider it small because in comparison now, I guess, in Japan, they've got Fukushima, which is a gigantic concocted mess, like beyond comprehension. They can't even get anything in it to take a look at it. It's only getting exponentially worse because Japan definitely does not have the resources to manage it on their own. So I guess in comparison, Sendai is really no big deal. And I suppose that the Japanese leader have just given in and said, okay, all of our people are going to die. You know, the Japanese culture is going to be harikaried in honor of the nuclear industry. That's what we're going to do. And I mean, I find it very, honestly, I do not know how the Japanese people can live with their government and how they can just continue to ignore it and live in fear of their government. That's the thing that's really sad, is the fear that people live towards their government. We live in a world where people are just straight up afraid. And, you know, we're just going to have to put our courage feet on. We do not have a choice. It's either that or we just watch our planet die. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to just roll over and let the fucking truck keep rolling over us. So I made an effort to check out. I mean, there is not one little peep coming from Japan on the Sendai nuclear power plant. We can get little hints, but, you know, the bottom line is the Sendai nuclear power plant is in severe trouble this morning. And, you know, it's not getting better. You know, and that's actually where they want to have the Olympic Games. They're talking about doing Olympic Games down there. Not now. I mean, not now. And I don't know how that's going to end over there. Because honestly, if that volcano really continues to go off, they say that they have not shut down that nuclear power plant, that they're continuing it. But, you know, they also lied to us about Fukushima for the first 3 months. You know, they didn't actually declare there was nuclear meltdowns for 3 months over there. And in fact, they continue to act like it's no big deal, like it's being handled, when in fact, it is not being handled. In fact, it is worse than ever. So, you know, it's really up to us. And, you know, will our elected officials do anything? Can they? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. You know, here's Claire McCaskill, who is what I consider to be pretty much a blue dog Dem, and Roy Blunt, a Republican, working together to get something done in their own state. And the EPA is like, you guys are overreacting. It's not that big a deal. They always have this. This is no big deal. We've had it for 24 years. It's not going to harm anybody. It is harming people, and we all know that. And that's why people listen to the sound of this radio station, because this is one of the few places where we can actually get some information going on. You know, San Onofre, what did they say it's going to cost? Something like $7.57 billion. That's what they think it's going to take to actually shut it down, to work on it. So, you know, It's a fat cash cow. These nuclear reactors, there is no real safe way. They have no idea how to shut them down safely. And, you know, for people to just pretend like those people are knowing what they're doing, I mean, as far back as night, they put this stupid thing on backwards in 1977. They were willing to ignore that they had a partial meltdown before they shut them down. They were closed. You know, the government came in and shut them down pretty quickly. You know, the surrounding population around San Onofre is gigantic. We think we have a big problem at Fukushima. We have a big problem. We have big problems around all of our nuclear reactors, folks. None of them are in good shape. The licensees, they all want to extend it. They don't want to pour any money into them. They're doing it on the dirt cheap as much as they possibly can. Let me get back to these event notifications. I think I'm going to start calling them hazard notifications. So we talked about the orphan source found, and that was in New Jersey at a trash dump site. Then there's another one. Here's another agreement state report. Irradiator source racks failed safe on 8/18. The event date was 7/21. How do you like this? They don't tell us on 7/21 was in the event when the event was told. They notified the government on 8/18. California Radiation Control Program, Stergenics International Inc. in Hayward, California. On 7/21, Stergenics Corporation Radiation Safety Officer contacted RHB Sacramento office, California Radiation Health Branch, via an email and telephone to report the following event in accordance with 36.834A4. His email stated the following: last night at approximately 12:11 a.m. at Stergenics Hayward facility, the pneumatic cylinder used to raise one of the two source racks failed to function as designed. The failure did not cause a stuck source, nor was there any risk of exposure to any individual as a result of this failure. So I guess what they're telling us is that this equipment is failing, but don't worry, it's not so bad. In the interim, the facility will not commence operations until repairs are completed to the hoist and approval to commence operations is granted by the corporate RSO and corporate engineering. At least these people have stopped operations, and that's because probably it's a private company. I don't know. You know, on 18, we have another event, 51330, Electa, E-L-E-K-T-A, Inc., and that is in Atlanta, Georgia, on 8/18. Notified the government on 8/19. Flexitron source lodged in ruler check. They called, let's see, to investigate an obstruction error involving a 10.2 Ci radium 192 source and a Flexitron HDR. The facility was using a micro selection source position check ruler to check the source positioning of the Flexitron source. The source became lodged in the check ruler. The system e-stop was unable to retract the source. So this is one of those technical reports that unless, I mean, I guess somebody who can understand it, maybe Mark Casabier or Shane Russell could interpret this. These are just broken. I guess they have to report it because it does present a really unsafe unit. The plan for securing the source and the ruler was discussed and approved with the Electa RSO. The event was planned in time. It took 11 seconds from opening the door to securing the source inside the pig. The pig, the P-I-G. I wonder what that is. There's so many acronyms here that they use, and they use it to make it sound normal. I don't think I'm going to get through all of these. We've had a lot of event notifications. Spurious intermittent actuation of an emergency notification system siren. Don't you love that? And that's in Beaver Valley in Pennsylvania. Let's see. At 5:48, Beaver Valley Power Station received notification that Siren 6, Potter Township Municipal Building, was sounding intermittently. The fire department activated cable to the siren was severed by a motor truck. The ENS activation function remains functional. Wow. Offsite notification regarding material being released and recovered. How do you recover this? This was an interesting one. The original event involved a release of 14 bags of debris from the administration building roof prior to the survey results being obtained. The bags were recovered from the local landfill and the determination was made that the amount of material temporarily removed from the protected area was below NRC reporting limits of 10 CFR reports of loss or theft license material. I'm stunned by this. Like, what is it going to take for any of these people working in this industry to get a sense of urgency that this is not okay, that we are actually killing our planet, that we need to be doing something to make these, I mean, I personally think maybe one of the things we need to do, like my Senator Jeff Merkley thought when he first got into the Senate, he really did, he wrote up some legislation that was going to amend the Price-Anderson Act, to allow the Price-Anderson Act to be amended to hold somebody accountable. Here I just read to you that Bechtel, as far back as 1977, screwed up and started to put a nuclear reactor on backwards. Were they ever held accountable? No. And in fact, you know who it was up in Hanford who dug the 40 miles of trenches and disobeyed the government? Bechtel was ordered by the government and paid lots of money, like $82 million, to dig these 40 miles of trenches up in Hanford, triple line them with radioactive resistant plastic to allow the radiation to cool down. They thought it would help it cool down a lot faster if you just... They have lots, you know, Hanford is a big, gigantic reservation, like 300-400 square miles, I think. So they could actually, they thought, we'll just dig these big trenches, triple line it, pour the radiation in there, and let it cool down for 40, 50 years. It'll make the cooling process quicker. Bechtel decided to save money, not triple line it, and not openly. What they've been doing is, yeah, they dug the trenches. And then they've just been dumping barrels of radioactive waste in their corrosive tins into these dump sites. And because they were just in these barrels, it started leaking. And it's leaking into the groundwater, and now it's completely out of control. If you go to the Hanford site right now, they have these beautiful, just like they do at TEPCO, they have these really great graphics, and it looks like they're cutting out big chunks of land and cleaning it up. They're not doing any of that. That's their in their dreams projections. That's their little boy, let's go to the computer and create beautiful pictures. What really has happened is Bechtel has contaminated the Northwest with highly radioactive material that is leaking into the Columbia River, which is right next to where the Columbia Generating Station is, folks. So this is one of those things that this is why that little piece of information about the Columbia Generating Station needing to be shut down, for some reason it's lodged in the back of my head and I cannot ignore it anymore. Mimi Gurman put up the post on her Facebook page about 3 weeks ago that said, what's it going to take? And I don't know why, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know what it is going to take, but I certainly don't want to wait for a nuclear meltdown or for an accident, or for a fire. They have fires all the time up there near the Columbia Generating Station. It's in the desert. They have spontaneous fires that have come very, very close to the Columbia Generating Station. So, you know, it's not just sitting on some beautiful land. It's in a dangerous place, and it's sitting on top of an earthquake fault. So I see that we have 10 minutes left. So I want to make a point to remind people to please go to the NRC website to go to, let me see, I'll go there and I can tell you how to get there. You want to go to public meeting and involvement, and it says documents for comment. You want to click on that, and you click on the documents for comment, and you move all the way down, and it's the linear, no threshold model, and standards for protection. They have extended the comment date until 11/19/2015. Reactor effluence is really an interesting one. Low-level radioactive waste disposal. That public comment is open until 9/21. And let's click on that and see what that says, because that's kind of a new one. I haven't seen it up there, so they must have just recently put it up there in the last week. So what does it tell us now? The proposed regulations require Part 61 licensees to conduct site-specific analysis, including an intruder assessment, and make additional changes to the current regulations to reduce ambiguity and facilitate implementation. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Reopening low-level radioactive waste disposal, reopening of the comment period. So they've reopened the comment period. It was closed. They had closed it. So I think it really does matter that we put our voices in, even if there's only a few hundred of us. That's more than what was doing it before. So I think it's really important for us to stay engaged and allow the NRC to see that we're not just going to lay down and let them dissect us like little lab rats, at least without complaining. You know, this is the interesting thing. They can lie about the radiation all they want, but the radiation is not going to lie. Radiation kills people. It harms people, and it kills life on our planet. And for them to completely pretend like they don't acknowledge it as being that bad, like the EPA telling these senators that it's not as bad as everybody thinks, don't worry about it. There's the risk of threat from this ongoing contamination is minimal. Really tell that to the people who have autistic children, or tell that to the people who can't have children, or tell that to the people who have gotten cancer in their 40s and 50s from living close to this. I mean, the nuclear cartel is just completely unconscionable. We actually have two more days, August 31st event notification and the event notification for August 28th. This is unbelievable. I mean, I'm so stunned by this. I just can't get over how many events happened in the last week. And they're not events, folks. These are things that actually threaten the life of Americans across the country. Personnel overexposure in Idaho Falls, Idaho, at International Isotopes. Technicians were preparing to transfer a CO60 source. I don't know what radionuclide that is. CO. So somebody would. Maybe I can think of it in a minute. Wow. So they basically, of course, there was the technician is being restricted from work on radioactive materials. That's nice. That's really nice. So now they're not going to let that guy work near radioactive sources, but I wonder how they're going to help him when he gets sick. Wow, the exposed individual has been providing blood samples at the local hospital per the sampling protocol prescribed by the DOE, Radiation Emergency Assistance Training. All blood samples are normal with no indication of radiation exposure. Of course, don't worry, move along. Blood testing for the technician involved in the exposure event has been completed, and all results are normal. Complete documentation is to be provided. This is the thing. How do we trust these people? I don't trust them at all. I mean, everything is normal. This is the hard part. Where, you know, Ackerman and I were talking about getting some fish tested. It'd be kind of interesting. I'm in Oregon. He's in Canada. If we got the same fish tested, if he got a fish up there and I went to a market here and we tested the same fish to see what the levels of radiation is. The hard part is, how do we trust the people that we're sending it to give us actual real truth? I mean, we're living in a complete fascist state where the truth is guarded like a gigantic secret. And only those who, you know, we're on a need-to-know basis, and I guess we don't need to know. We need to just sit down and shut up and just take whatever it is they give us. Only most of us are not willing to just sit down and shut up. I mean, people listening to the sound of this radio show want to get actively engaged, and that's what this is about, getting actively engaged. Make sure you take your vitamins, resist the urge to eat their junk food, you know, get yourself, your body moving, become actively engaged. And that does mean putting on pressure, like even, you know, Claire McCaskill and, you know, what's his name over here? What's his name? I forgot even. Mr. Republican. Roy Blunt. I can see his face. But, you know, these people are actively engaged. They're living in a state where they know there's radiological contamination in their neighborhoods, and there is nothing they can do about it. Think about the psychological damage that does to people who have worked hard to get into a position of power, and then they get into this position of power and they realize there isn't jack they can do to stop the radiation, that the military really does run the show and that we are all just their lab rats. So I think we still need to continue to put up pressure on these people. You know, let me give you some numbers. I'll give you some phone numbers to the Senate that you can call, because it is really important that we contact our elected officials. You know, Mitch McConnell, you know, who is it? Onofre, what's his name? For goodness sakes, I could probably go down the list of names, but the man who is running the Energy Department, the Energy Committee for the Senate right now, the man who stood on top, stood inside of the Senate and basically held a snowball and said that there is no global warming, James Inhofe from Oklahoma. He is the head of the Energy Committee. And he is the person that, one of the people that we can call to put on pressure. Same thing with David Vitter in the House. These are the people that are protecting the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Besides your own elected officials, we need to be calling these people and telling them that we want hearings. We want to know what's going on. We want to close down the Columbia Generating Station. We need to close down Indian Point, which is leaking tritium, and they're trying to tell us that tritium is good. We definitely need to put our comments in at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission about the hormesis, non-hormesis. I think that they've extended the comments so that their buds in the nuclear industry can put in enough comments to offset our already comments. I'm sure that many of the people that listen to this radio show have already gone on and made their comments. But I suggest that we need to keep doing it. For myself, I'm glad because I haven't really had a time to walk through the streets of Eugene, Oregon to get those signatures. I definitely am going to be doing that, especially now that we have time through November 19th. So on Wednesday, I will be interviewing Mimi Gurman. I think her name is German, not German, the way I've been saying it. Sorry about that, Mimi. We'll be talking about the Columbia Generating Station and getting it closed down. It is really an urgent issue. It is in a near catastrophic state. It is not functioning correctly. They don't want us to know the sad state of affairs that every single one of these nuclear power plants are in. You know, we are being exposed in America to high levels of radiation to the point where the Nuclear Regulatory Commission just wants to change it to say, hey, since we can't beat them, let's join them and let's just pretend that radiation's okay for us. Well, radiation is not okay, and we're not going to let the Caligulas win. They are going to, you know, suffocate under the weight of their own power. That's what I think. And we need to continue to poke them in the eyes and continue to fight back. So I want to thank everybody who has been listening. And, you know, I encourage you to listen to other radio shows on this station because this is the only place where we will get real information about what's going on with the nuclear industry. So